I want to talk to you a few minutes tonight from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 7. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel, chapter number 7. Praise the Lord. Y'all may have gotten in Brother Craig Bass tonight. Y'all may have already gotten all the screaming and the hollering that you're going to get. Amen. I do feel to talk to you a few minutes about this because I believe it's very important. First of all, I believe everything in the Word of God is important. And I believe everything that's in that book, that you and I need it. We need it. We need it. We need it more than we've ever needed it before. But there's a story here tonight that I hope that in a few minutes' time, I can convey what I feel would be sufficient for this service and for where we are. Because I am confident that the God that we serve tonight has a desire to do great things in these last days. Praise the Lord. Not just here, but across the world. I believe God wants to work in His church everywhere. I'm not so selfish tonight to pray that God will only work here. I am not so selfish to believe that this is the only place He can work. I believe God's got lots of places that He is working in. And I want to help pray for those places to see the Lord do great things. But I do believe that God is, I believe God's got some things in mind. I believe God's got a plan. And I want to be a part of that plan. 1 Samuel chapter 7, it said, the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented. Everybody say lamented. Lamented. All the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then, everybody say then,
amen,
then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Why don't you be seated tonight? Praise God. Let me give you a little background on this story. If you, and you've heard it preached, those of you that have been around church any length of time at all, then you know that there was an occasion when Israel went out to battle against the Philistines. And when they went out to battle, they were, as we would put it, they were put to the worse. They were defeated. And there were thousands of Israelis that were killed. They died in that battle. And so they went back to where the Ark of God was and requested that the Ark of God be carried down to the camp. And I don't want to get into all of this tonight because it's not part of the message. But they, of course, that was not even God's plan. God's will was not that the ark be carried into battle. It was His will that it remain where He ordained and assigned for it to be. And so they took the ark anyway and into battle. And in the course of the battle, they were defeated once again. The sons of Eli were slain, Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible tells us, along with all of this, that the Ark of God was taken. And so, after the Ark of God was taken, then the Bible lets us know that the Philistines took the ark and they brought it to from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. They took it down to the house of Dagon, and they set it up in their house of idolatry. Of course, you know the story of all of the problems that the Philistines had because they were in possession of an ark that did not belong to them. And they did not know how to handle it. They didn't know how to deal with the things of God. I really believe tonight that there are a lot of people in our world today trying to handle the things of God that have no knowledge of how to deal with the things of God. It's really a dangerous thing to try to work the works of God when you don't have a knowledge of God to begin with. And that was really the problem with the Philistines. They did not have a knowledge of God. They did not know how to handle the things of God. They were not sanctified to handle them. They were not ordained to handle them. And it caused them great problems. Amen. I believe this, that if we want the Lord to do good things and to work among us, then you and I need to have a knowledge of God. And we need to have a knowledge of the things of God and how to work with the things of God. And not just think that we can handle God and His various parts of His great work and do it in an ignorant manner. God's not going to work that way. The ark of God caused the Philistines so much problem that they said, you know, the best thing for us to do is send this thing back to where it came from. It's more problem than it's worth. Amen. I'm glad I don't see God that way, that He's more problem than He's worth. I want to tell you tonight, God is not a problem to me. And the things of God are not a problem to me. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house tonight. Amen. The things of God are not a problem to me. It's not a problem to me to worship. It's not a problem to me to live holy and righteous. It's not a problem to me to abide by standards of lifestyle and dress code. That's not a problem. Amen. It's not a problem to me to tithe and give offerings. I don't have a problem with that. Because God's not a problem to me. And when God is not a problem to you, then all the things that are associated with God are not a problem to you. Well, I believe that tonight. So much for not screaming. Hallelujah. I love God. And I want to know more about Him. The problem with the Philistines is they didn't know God. And because they didn't know God, then they didn't know how to handle the things of God. Somebody make some notes on that. This is all by divine inspiration. This is not my message. Make some notes so I can save that. You got it in your brain? I want to work on that some more later. Hallelujah. I'll buy the CD after church tonight. Hallelujah. Nothing like buying your own tapes. I don't listen to my tapes. I promise you that. I can't stand to listen to myself. Hallelujah. Now I can understand why some folks don't want to listen to me when I go and listen to my tapes. That's why I don't listen to them. Somebody say praise the Lord. Trying to make a point to you tonight that when you know God, then the things of God are not a problem to you. You know how to handle God. Amen. You love His worship. Amen. You love His house. Amen. You love His church. Amen. You love the people that make up His church. Amen. Amen. You love all parts of the things of God. And you don't have a problem with that. You don't struggle. When you really know the Lord, you're not going to struggle with separation from the world. When you really know God, you're not going to struggle with the Holy Ghost filled service. When you really know God, you're not going to struggle with the glory and the power of God. You're not going to struggle with responding to God. The problem with the Philistines is they didn't know God. Consequently, they didn't know how to respond to God. God gave them some problems. Amen. You want to read? You want to know what it is? You read about it. It's in the book. It was some severe problems. They got into some very painful situations. Amen. It's in your Bible. Hallelujah. It troubled them. Their little idols were torn down. Their temple that they had all set up the way they wanted, it became in a state of great disarray. And they said, you know what? The best thing for us to do is get rid of what's causing us problems. You see, if you don't let God control your life, He will cause you some problems. If God is not in control, He will cause you problems. If you don't know how to handle God, if you don't know how to work with God, if you don't know how to honor God, if you don't know how to put God in the right place, He'll give you some problems. As a matter of fact, the problems will become so great. Let me tell you the reason why that God calls the problems. I'm going to tell you exactly why God calls the problems for the Philistines and why it causes problems in the hearts and lives of people. It is because what He's trying to do is to wake them up to understand that there's a higher power that's working in their lives. Can you realize, can you understand that whenever they went the next morning and found Dagon with his face on the floor, that ought to woke every last one of them up and cause them to say, you know what? There's something about this ark. There's something about this thing that we have brought back. We ought to do something about this. There's a higher power if he can bring down our idol God. And especially the next day when they came back and their God was not only on his face, but he was broken up. Amen. They ought to stop long enough to realize, I'm telling you, there's something here about this ark that's powerful. Amen. Let's get rid of Dagon. Let's keep the ark. Anything that can do that, let's hold on to the ark. Well, come on, church. Amen. You know, people come to church sometime and God stirs them up, sends conviction, and they get all stirred. In fact, sometimes people hear a message preached and they get mad about what they hear. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for that. At least it had an impact on them. At least it had an effect. Brother Tommy, I don't know if you've been fishing lately or not. Probably you have. And I know if you haven't, Brother Jack has. So either one of you guys and some of you others out there could understand what I'm talking about. When you throw, he hadn't been lately. Well, that's right. He married a wife. Married a wife. Hallelujah. I knew he had sunk. Hallelujah. His boat sunk on him. That's what it is. But when you put the bait on that hook and you throw it off out there in the water and it gets down in there and all of a sudden that fish grabs a hold of him and he starts fighting. You know why he's fighting? He's fighting because the hook's in his mouth and he's mad about it.
Right. That's right.
Amen. And every now and then God puts a hook in somebody's mouth and they're mad about it. And eventually, I'm told, and of course I know that there are fish that break the line, there are fish that get off, there's all these kind of things that happen, and that's the way it is. Whenever the Lord puts a hook in somebody's mouth, sometimes they fight so hard, they get off the hook or they break the line or whatever. But then there are those that fight and fight and fight until they can fight no longer. And then after they have fought for so long, they in submission are brought into the boat and they are caught. That's the way it is in serving the Lord. There are people that get upset when God puts the hook in the mouth. They get angry about it. You know what? That doesn't bother me sometimes when folks get mad about what's been preached to them. Because I know God's giving them a problem. God's giving them a fit. He's stirring up some things in their life. He's challenging some things in their heart and their mind. It's causing them to realize that something's got a hold of them and it's not going to turn them loose so easily. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. God will give you problems when you don't put Him in the right place. When you don't honor God, God will be a problem to your life. I don't want God to be a problem. And I don't want to be a problem to God. I want to put the Lord in the right place. Now, I'm taking my time tonight because I'm going to get to a message here in just a few moments. I want to put Him in the right place. I want Him to be number one. Now, if you think the Philistines were having problems with God, Israel was having problems also.
Right.
And the biggest problem that Israel was having was because that they had so embraced idolatry of that time that God's presence was not even among them. Now, it's one thing for God to be giving you problems and shaking your life up, and it's something else for God to not even be affecting you.
All right, right.
It's one thing for you to be under conviction and to be stirred up and to be challenged. It's one thing to have the hook in your jaw and you be fighting. It's another thing for him not to even be bothering with you. You see, there's the contrast between the Philistines and their encounter with God and the Israelites in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. That's your contrast. The Philistines were having problems with a God they didn't know what to do with. They were having a problem with things they did not know how to handle. And the Israelites were upset because they couldn't feel God. Or see God working. Or feel the effects of God. It's a big contrast. And so when you get to chapter number 7, these men of Kirjath-Jearim, they went out and they fetched up the ark of the Lord. They brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill. They sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. They put the ark in a safe place, and then they sanctified somebody to watch over the ark of God. You do have to put God's things in the right place. And you do have to handle it with the right kind of care. And then the Bible said it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long. And it was 20 years in Kirjath-Jearim. 20 years that Eleazar was the man sanctified to watch the ark and to keep that ark. And the Bible said that all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They lamented after the Lord. They cried. The word lament there means to groan. It means to bewail through the idea of crying aloud. Do you know what they were doing? The whole house of Israel was crying out, "Oh God, we need you. We need you." Their problem was they knew what God could do, and they knew how great He was, and they knew what He had done, and they realized the condition and the state they were in without that God. The Philistines had no clue about the God that Israel served and no clue about the handling the things of God, and it gave them great trouble. But Israel, realizing that we need God, they began to lament. Now they lamented because they were oppressed. They were actually at this time slaves of the Philistines. The Philistines had control of them. And so they were an oppressed people. They were no longer under the control of God. They were under the control of the Philistines. Amen. They lamented because of the state that they were in. They lamented because they needed deliverance. They lamented because they realized that they were defeated. Now listen, not only had they been defeated before the Philistines and the ark was taken, but understand something, that this had gone on for 20 years. 20 years is a long time to live in a defeated state. 20 years is a long time to live with the memory of what God has done. And so they were lamenting. They were weeping. "Oh God, we've been in this state. We've been oppressed. It's been over 20 years now. Look where we are." And they're crying out. The Bible said they're groaning. "Oh God, Jehovah, we need you. We need you." They were lamenting for the Lord. To lament. They lamented because they were oppressed. But I want to tell you what they also lamented. The reason that they lamented, they cried, they wept, they groaned, is because that inwardly they began to be convinced that nobody could help them but the Lord. They understood their help was from God. I want to tell you something, church. This church don't operate on nothing more than the Holy Ghost. The only thing that's going to operate this church is the power of the Holy Ghost. We lose the power of the Holy Ghost and we're just like everybody else. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. I said we lose the power of the Holy Ghost and we are just like anybody else that's never had the Holy Ghost before. Except for this one, or with this one exception. And that is, someone who's never had the Holy Ghost doesn't have a clue as to what the Holy Ghost can do for them. But someone who has the Holy Ghost and has had it, they know what God's power is. They know what the touch of God is. When you know what revival is, then something inside of you, when you sense that there is a dryness, that there is a drought, that there is a lack of the move of the Spirit, when you know what revival is, something inside says, I know what it is. I know the glory. I know the power. I know the anointing. And something inside rises up and says, oh God, we've got to have your help. Nobody can help us but you, Lord. Nobody, come on now. We don't need new programs right now. We don't need new structure right now. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. We don't need a new form of worship. We need the Lord. We don't need more music. We need the Lord. We don't need more singers. We need the Lord. That's what we need is God. If you've ever had God, then you know what it is when He's not around. And you start coming convinced inwardly that nobody can help you but the Lord. Now, another aspect of this lamenting is that while it seemed like they desired the Lord, they were also a little afraid that He was not going to deliver them. They prayed in this manner, but there seemed to be a little touch of doubt about whether it would get anything done or not. Hallelujah. Sometimes people that have, they find themselves in a dry place, find themselves in a place where they're not really sensitive and strong in the Spirit is what they ought to be. They find themselves with a little fear in their heart. Can I come out of where I am? Now, the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody here tonight, and I know it without a doubt in my mind. And this the Holy Ghost is not finished yet. And if we tonight in this place will begin to move toward what God is trying to do in this house. Now, I've not been worried about this service tonight because I know what I felt in the Holy Ghost. And if we'll move in the direction of the Spirit, somebody tonight can get what they need from God, and there can be a turnaround in their life. There can be a change in somebody's heart and mind before they walk out of this place, because the Spirit of God is trying to talk to you. You know what God is like. You know the things of God. You know what the Holy Ghost feels like. And you know where you are right now. You know your backslidden state. And I'm going to say it plain and simple. I said you know your backslidden state. You know your state of coldness and indifference. You know your lack of worship. You know your lack of praise. You know your lack of consecration and devotion before God. And I am trying to identify to you a problem, and one of the problems that you're dealing with is that there's a measure of fear in your heart that you have been to this place so many times that God won't bring you out. But I've got a word from God for you, and that is, there's an answer. There's an answer. God will make the difference. Hallelujah. And while they didn't seem to have a great deal of hope for deliverance, they had a whole lot of desire for God.
All right.
And sometimes you can be struggling about whether or not that you can come out of
where you are, but if you get a desire in your heart for God and you start crying out for Him, you don't worry about deliverance. When you start crying out for God, you let God take care of the deliverance. When you start crying out to God, quit. Oh, glory to God. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we come to pray in this state of prayer that we're in, or state of mind that we're in when we're praying. It's that state of mind that's constantly saying, oh God, I don't know, Lord, here I am. You know what I've done. And it's a good thing to repent. But there comes a point when you start crying out, it's you I need, God. 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 And when God starts seeing somebody with desire, He takes care of the deliverance. He takes care of breaking the bonds. He takes care of destroying the yokes. He's the one that lifts you up out of the miry pit that you find yourself in and sets your feet on the solid rock in Him. I want to show you something here tonight. And this is my message. It said that Israel, all the house of Israel, lamented. They groaned. They bewailed. They cried out with a loud voice to Jehovah God. But a preacher had to stand up and say, hey, hold on, folks, just a second. I need to tell you something. Something I need to tell you. He said, if you do return to the Lord with all your heart, there's something you got to do. He said, put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. My God, hallelujah. Do you understand what's happening right here? Israel was groaning after God. Israel was lamenting after God. Israel was wailing and crying out, oh God, we need you. But they were wanting to hold on to their idols. They were crying out to God, oh God, save us. You're the only one that can help us. Nobody else can help us. But all the time that they're crying out to God, they're hanging on to their idols. And the preacher had to get up and say, folks, if you return to God with all of your heart, let me tell you what you got to do. You got to get rid of your idols. You can't have God and your idols at the same time. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. You can't have God. You can't have God in your worldly lifestyle. You can't have God in your movies and your DVDs and your videos and Hollywood. You can't have God and have all your sports. You can't have God and hold on to your pride. You can't have God and hold on to everything else that you want from the world. I want to tell you, you know that God's your help tonight. You know that nobody can help you but God. But if you're going to turn to God with all of your heart, I want to tell you what you got to do. You got to put away your idols. You got to put away your strange gods. Somebody's got to stand up and tell the young ladies that if you're going to serve the Lord, you got to leave the boys alone and quit your fornicating and quit fooling around and playing games with God. Hallelujah to God. The young men need to be told, if you want to serve the Lord with all of your heart, you got to quit playing games. You got to turn loose of your idols. You got to stop your fornication. You got to stop your lascivious lifestyle. You got to turn loose. You can't have God and have your morality at the same time. You can't have God with serving with all your heart and have all the sin of the world wrapped up in your very lifestyle. You can't have both. Oh God, help me tonight. Help me tonight. Oh God. Oh God. What grieve in my heart tonight. I know how Samuel felt. But what grieves my heart in this place tonight is I know you're here, you're in church, and I'm so thankful. I'm so glad you're here because it tells me you know that you need God. It tells me that you understand that this is where your hope is, that this is where your help is, that you understand this is the place that you need to be, that there's no help in the world, there's no help in sin, there's no help out there where you came from. You know that. That's why you're in church. But listen to your preacher tonight. Listen to your pastor. As Samuel was the pastor of Israel that time. I'm telling you, God is looking for somebody that'll say, I'm going to get rid of the idols. I'm going to lay this world down. I'm getting rid of my romance novels. I'm going home tonight, and I'm going to get rid of every magazine I've been reading that's not like the Lord. I'm going to get rid of my worldly music. I'm going to toss out my rock music, my country music, my rap music. Amen. I'm going to tell you, and I don't even care if it goes under the name of gospel music, it ought to be gotten rid of. Hallelujah to God. Then you'll go home tonight and say, I'm going to lay some things down. I'm going to have an old personal burning of some garbage. I'm going to get rid of some clothes I've been wearing that I know I shouldn't be wearing. If we want to serve Him with all of our heart, if we want to serve the Lord with all of our heart, it's time to lay some idols down. I said it's time to lay some idols down. Oh God, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Oh God, help us here tonight. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I'm disturbed in my spirit tonight as a pastor. I'm disturbed in my spirit as a pastor because I'm asking the question, how much do we really want God? How hungry tonight are you really for God? Is your desire level where it ought to be? Oh, God, help us. Help us. Help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Samuel said, hey, Israel, if you want to serve God, if you want God to do something for you, he said, then I'm going to tell you what you got to do. You got to put away those idol gods. I'm almost finished, but I want to tell you something. I don't have time to read it tonight, but if you read 1 Samuel chapter number 7, let me tell you what happened. The Israelites put away their idol gods. I said they put away their idol gods. They made up their mind. We're going to live for God. We're going to give our whole heart to God. We're going to do everything. And the Bible said at Mizpah, it was at Mizpah that the Philistines realized what was happening. And don't you kid yourself for 1 minute. When you start throwing things away, the devil takes notice of what you're doing. And he's not going to take it sitting down. He is not going to take it backing up. I'm telling you, when he sees you starting to lay some things down and to give your heart wholly to God, he's coming after you again. And that's what the Philistines did when they found out that Israel had gathered together at Mizpah. And they were there. And they were there ready to give their heart to God. Then they started coming together to come against Israel. And when they did, Israel cried out to Samuel and said, Samuel, cease not to pray to God for us. Whatever you do, don't stop praying for us. Don't stop praying for us. Don't stop praying for us. And the Bible said that Samuel took a sucking lamb and he offered up a sacrifice holy unto God. And when the Philistines began to run upon Israel, that God thundered from heaven with a great thunder and began to send lightning. And the Philistines were smitten and their yoke was broken upon the Israelites that day. I'm done preaching. I said I'm finished preaching. The question tonight is, do you want to serve the Lord with your whole heart? Do you want to serve God with your whole heart? And if you want to serve God with your whole heart, are you ready to lay your idols down? Are you ready to lay some things down? Are you ready to quit playing games? Are you ready to lay down your video games that are full of vulgarity and immorality? Are you ready to lay down your internet surfing that's doing nothing but damning your soul to hell? Are you ready to lay down the things that you're holding on to and yet still trying to serve God? Are there any young ladies tonight that will commit yourself to God and say, God, if I never have a boyfriend, if I never get married, I want you in my life. I need your touch. Are there any young men tonight that can say, God, I don't care what it takes. I gotta have the Holy Ghost. I gotta have your touch. I need your spirit more than I need anything else. Does anybody want to hear God thunder tonight? Does anybody want to hear God thunder in your life and bring deliverance? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm done preaching. The Holy Ghost is trying to work right now. Is there any?